Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hultgren sans Ken Evans, as he is on spring break. Technically, I am too, but it is Easter Sunday as you are hearing this, and I could not do this. We are going to have actually two episodes this week. I'm going to do this one right now, which will run for probably 30 minutes, and then we'll do a full breakdown towards the end of the week. Roger Huerta will join the show as he's fighting in Bellator this weekend, and of course, we have a whole new main event for UFC 223 this Saturday night. How does that happen? It happens like this.
Unfortunately, this is not an April Fool's. Tony is out. He hurt his knee. Tony Ferguson is injured, but the beautiful thing about this sport, the stud 145-pound champion Max Holloway is going to step up and face Khabib this Saturday in Brooklyn, New York, and it is for the official 155-pound title.
And just like that, Tony Ferguson is out against Khabib Nurmagomedov. Now, for some level setting before we talk about who will be taking the place of Tony Ferguson, in 2015, Khabib was out of this fight. Then they tried to rebook it in 2016, and Tony was out of that fight. In 2017, it was rebooked, and Khabib was out. That was the weight cutting, the tiramisu jokes that you've been hearing all week. All of that happened in 2017. Boom! We're into 2018, and now Tony Ferguson has what's called a freak knee accident. Now, one of the things I haven't necessarily been able to noodle out is that the reports say that it was a freak accident last week. So I don't know if it was 3 days ago, because Ferguson has been doing press for the last 2 or 3 days, and it didn't seem like anything was amiss. So I don't know if it was last week or if it was late Friday night. I don't actually know the time frame of this. All I can tell you is that for the last 3 years, almost 4 years, we've tried to book this fight. And I absolutely agree with Brett Akimoto, who says that we should never, no matter what happens, never book this fight again, because it is destined not to happen. We were joking in January that it wouldn't happen. I even retweeted somebody who was trolling for this not to happen, who retweeted the story from 2015 early in February, because that's how triggered I was for this thing not to happen. And here we are, 2018, on April Fool's Day, and it is not an April Fool's joke. This fight is off. However, Khabib Nurmagomedov gets a new opponent. In the baller of all ballers, Max Holloway is coming up from 145 to 155 on 6 days' notice to take on the scariest man in MMA, in Khabib Nurmagomedov. Now, if you don't think that's totally baller, I don't know. I mean, the friends on Twitter who have been responding to me all afternoon long, I'm with you. The blessed era is something. And I would say a couple things. One, this fight is super compelling. On 6 days' notice, it's got some holes, right? It's like if you've watched Ready Player One this weekend, you know, like, if you enjoy it for a popcorn movie, okay, if you want it to be a representation of the book to movie, you're going to be sorely disappointed. This is a little bit the same thing. All things being equal, a 9-10 week camp, these two meetings, super compelling fight. On 6 days' notice, you're kind of throwing a lot at the wall and making sure that it sticks. All of that to say, guys, Max Holloway starched Jose Aldo twice in a row at UFC 212 and UFC 218. Before that, TKO of Anthony Pettis. So the guy's on an absolute tear at 145. Hasn't lost since he lost to Conor McGregor in 2013. That's a fascinating story. And you know that I love these stories coming off of 2 days, you know, like the Michael Bisping story, one of my favorites, right? Having coffee with Vin Diesel, winning the title from Luke Rockhold. Like, these are the stories that I love, because my brain goes a million miles an hour to think to myself, okay, so what happens if Max Holloway wins? Well, you don't have a better reason for Conor McGregor to come back to 155 than this story, right? Because with Tony being out, Khabib being a guy who, you know, two other times has had trouble making it to this fight in particular and has had some troubles making it to other fights. He's an X factor and somebody that Conor doesn't want to bet on not making it to fight day. But a guy that he would absolutely bet on is a guy he beat in 2013, who is the current champ at 145, who could be the new champ at 155 on Saturday night. That, my friends, is why you watch this sport. Am I bummed about Ferguson and Khabib not happening? Yes, I'm absolutely bummed. But you got to move past that stuff. And honestly, this is about as good of a scenario, if not a better scenario, that you could roll out if you could pick what would happen if this thing was going to nuke itself, which it clearly did. Max Holloway stepping up on 6 days' notice is about as good as it gets, friends. And that's why you watch this sport. Not for the fact that these freak accidents happen, and clearly this fight between Tony Ferguson and Khabib Nurmagomedov is never going to happen and probably should never happen. But we get Max Holloway, and guys, that's a fun fight. Great takedown defense, which I think makes this fight super compelling. He's got cardio for days. I'm excited. I will do a more detailed breakdown as we get later on in the week, and Roger Huerta joins us for the second show of the week. But I actually had a whole different show planned for tonight. I was planning on Easter Sunday going on, and I was going to talk about the press conference being bonkers, and the back and forth between Ferguson and Khabib was just insane and getting everybody riled up. And you saw on Twitter on Thursday and Friday as these press junkets were rolling out that the Twitter sphere was going, all right, we're almost here. This has been crazy. And I was going to lean into that. I had all this audio pulled. I was going to do that. I will, of course, talk about the week of Ronda Rousey because that was also bonkers. But this is the biggest story of the day. Certainly will be the biggest story of the week as Max Holloway is taking on Khabib Nurmagomedov for the title at 155. This is why Ken and I were talking back and forth for the last 4 or 5 weeks, why Dana had not stripped Conor McGregor yet. The reason was because they were hoping that something like this didn't happen. Now, with Max Holloway in the picture, it becomes super compelling. And I don't know what to tell you, but I'm very excited about the replacement. I obviously wish it was longer than on 6 days' notice, but what are you going to do? I mean, as the report goes, Tony Ferguson's injury is a knee injury where the ligament pulled completely off of the bone. I don't have any idea what he was doing that would cause that. And obviously, it's early in the story. We're only close to, at this point, it's 9:44 Eastern time as I'm doing the show, so we're not even 3 hours into this story breaking. So there will be more tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. And obviously when I come back on Thursday or Friday and do the podcast, I will give you more details on what's going on with this situation. And I'll probably do the podcast as late as humanly possible, just given what just happened on Easter Sunday, because this is crazy town, guys. But just to recap, Tony Ferguson is out. Khabib Nurmagomedov still headlining UFC 223 as he takes on the champ at 145, Max Holloway, who's coming up to 155 to see if he can pick up another belt. And again, like I said, I couldn't be more excited about this. And I hope you are as well, because I understand, and I know I'm sort of talking in circles for a second, but it's hard to wrap your head around the fact that this was probably the best fight, most compelling fight that they've had on tap all year long between Ferguson and Khabib. And if you could come up with a better replacement, this is it. I don't think you lose interest, at least for people who are in the know. I don't think you lose any interest by replacing Tony Ferguson with Max Holloway, because the interim belt, if you've listened to the show, you know that the interim belts are ridiculous, right? They're just to move pay-per-view numbers. Like, there's a belt on the line that doesn't have any connection to the lineage of the actual belt, but hey, show up anyway, right? So I don't know that that takes anything away from this, and it certainly, when you have an actual champ who's going to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov, that brings a different level of cachet and a different storyline, especially the story that I think, if you're looking for a reason for Conor to take a fight at 155, and we've been spending the better part of 2018 talking about all of the other fights he could take either of the Diazes, GSP, Woodley, like anything else, but come back to 155 because it just didn't seem like the money was there. This might be a way, and there's a lot of if-then statements here, right? But this might be the way if Max Holloway is to do the impossible and on 6 days' notice beat the scariest guy in MMA and take that belt, that's a compelling case for Conor to want to come back, in my opinion, to 155 and defend what he never lost in the first place. Now, he will not have a belt coming into that fight if Max Holloway wins, but I mean, it's Conor. I don't know that that has or will ever make a difference, but that is where we are on Easter Eve, right? The evening of Easter is that Ferguson is out. Khabib Nurmagomedov is still in, taking on Max Holloway Saturday night in Brooklyn. The sport is insane, and that's one of the reasons that we have a love-hate relationship with it, because it's just, you never know what you're going to get. And speaking of never knowing what you're going to get, Ronda Rousey had started the promotion this week to talk about her match at WrestleMania, which will be next Sunday. So Saturday night is UFC 223. WrestleMania is the night after, as Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle will be taking on Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. And she was running around doing interviews. And what was most interesting about these round of interviews is, for a long time, guys, and if you're not on this side of the microphone, you might have noticed, but not had been aware as to why. There had been, if you had Ronda on your show, you couldn't really ask her about her MMA losses. It was one of the things they ask you not to do. And that was when she was doing the rounds, that was it. You couldn't ask her about what happened. Well, that gag order is apparently up, because everybody that she went and talked to this week wanted to ask her, like, this awkward interview with Golic and Wingo that sounds a little bit something like this.
Let's go back and start with when you knew from the MMA, when you were done there, when you knew in your mind, I'm not going to fight anymore.
I never said that.
Ah, so there is a possibility that you could go back in time?
There's a possibility that I could go back in time. That's your question to me.
Go back in time and fight. Go back in the octagon.
I do not have the ability to go back in time, no.
No. Would you fight again?
I don't know.
Now, is that poor phraseology from Golic? Yes, but the Golic and Wingo show is terrible in general. So I'm not really sure that I expected much more out of them. But you can tell that Ronda is not, number one, she misunderstands the question, which I don't blame her for, because it was a poorly worded question. Number two, she's already irritated to have anything to do with answering these questions about, is she coming back? Is she not coming back? What happened? When was the moment that she figured out that she was done? And to be honest with you, I think if she looks in the mirror, she probably didn't know that moment. It just was presented to her. I am done. Time to go do another thing. And then she went on another show that went a little, well, it didn't go better.
Okay, Ronda, what they didn't play in that preview that they heard Stephen A. and me talking about you was, I said that you were a woman who, through your fighting, when you became such a big deal that when you lost, it's like the earth stopped spinning on its axis. And that's the part I chose to focus on after your loss in the UFC. Like, why is everyone talking about, oh my God, she lost, is she over it, all these kind of things, when you achieved such heights that one loss, the whole world stopped and noticed it? Why do you think there was a kind of negative backlash to you after the loss? In other words, people, and you must be aware, in the MMA world, there was a lot of talk, well, she was overrated, she was this, she was that, and my point of view was, at the time and remains, that you achieved amazing heights. Almost no one wins forever. Everyone suffers setbacks, but there seemed to be like an unusual amount of negative pushback after your loss. Did you not experience that?
I experience a lot of people who quote some people that are really just afraid to state their own opinion.
Do you think it's my opinion? No, that's not my opinion. I can tell you right now, that's not my opinion. I thought you achieved amazing things. I was and am, remain a big fan of your fighting and of you. That's not me saying some people meaning me. That is me saying I read and heard from others and defended you.
Well, thank you for defending me. I appreciate that.
And Kellerman sure tried to make it seem like he was on her side, but she was having none of it. And what I find interesting about this is, and Ken and I had been talking via text all week about this, because we've always had this big question mark about Rhonda, which in hindsight appears as if we saw it all the time, right? And I think that's a little bit unfair, although I do think if you go back to some of the podcasts, we did say this on and off. Rhonda has never been good on the stick, right? She's never been good on the microphone. Her promos were always awful. And so when they roll her out to do these things, she doesn't seem very comfortable with them, and she certainly doesn't know how to handle not only the media aspect of it. Like, she's great on shows like Ellen, where she doesn't have to worry about the gotcha journalism, but any place the gotcha journalism is going to exist, she's terrible at it. And because it feels to me that she gets offended instantaneously and just has no idea how to back out of that stuff. If you look, in sharp contrast, when Chael Sonnen runs around, he knows the questions he's going to get, even when they come down to steroids, and he'll flat out take them on head on, right? He'll remove, in some cases, he'll bring it up to remove it from the question so that he's in control of how that works. She hasn't quite gotten there. And the interesting thing is, she clearly hasn't quite dealt with her losses in the UFC and what that has done to her mentally and what it means to her as a competitor. And it's hard for me to get in somebody like that's shoes, all the pressure that was on her, you know. And it was interesting. I was talking this week about, if you remember back to when the book came out, the Rhonda book, which was just called Rousey, that Dana in a couple interviews was saying, I wish she had waited till she had done more in this sport to put this book out. And hindsight being 2020, he was wrong and she was right, because she put this book out at the height of her reign, the height of her popularity in MMA, and at the perfect time, because soon after that, all of the pressures of whatever it was that led to her not performing at her peak, although I don't even think that that's fair. I just think people figured her out. I think they figured out her trick, and we've said it a million times. When you watch that Betch Koheya fight, Betch knew if you get in the pocket and throw straight up, meaning you throw that uppercut and you can contact her, bullying her is the best way to get her off her game and beat her. And that's, if you look at the two losses that led to her retiring and going to the WWE, that's exactly what happened. Both competitors bullied her and both competitors washed her out of the sport. But at this point in 2018, in March, it was wrestling, moving towards WrestleMania, she clearly has not dealt with this very well. And, you know, I wonder what that's like, and I wonder how you close the book if you're Ronda Rousey on that, right? Because she'll have a great match at WrestleMania, and trust me, I said it the last 2 weeks, everybody who says that they're not going to watch WrestleMania that's in the MMA universe will watch some of it, either while it's happening on Sunday or in clips on Monday. And she'll have a fun match, and the crowd will love it, and the people who are fans of that sport will enjoy it. But for her, man, you think to yourself, what more do you have to do to kind of move past that? And I don't have an answer. I'm not sitting here saying, like, all you have to do is this, that, and the other thing, and you will feel better about it, because I don't know that what I would do if I was dominating a sport for as long as she was. In fact, invented a sport in the UFC. They weren't going to do female MMA until she showed up. They had no interest in the Gina Carano world. They had no interest in the Cyborg world before there was a Ronda Rousey. And after that, for it to burn out as quickly as it did, I don't know what I would do if that was me as a competitor. This is a good answer for her, but I've said it a couple times on the show, and I'll say it one more time. My hope is after WrestleMania, they turn her heel, because you could see and hear in the interviews that I just played, like, she would be a better heel. If she showed up and she was supposed to be an asshole, I think that would be easier for her. I think having to show up on, you know, the Golic and Wingo show and pretend that she's happy to be there to talk about WrestleMania, that's not her personality, right? If she's a badass, and she's absolutely a badass, let her be a badass. So my hope is, you know, I don't know how they'll, you know, in wrestling vernacular, I don't know how they'll book it, right? But my hope is they either turn her heel at WrestleMania or they turn her heel after, because I think that will be much, much easier for her to be successful. All right, guys, it is Easter. I hope you guys had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. As always, if you need anything, it's Wow Show on Twitter and on Facebook. We will get another show Wednesday or Thursday. Like I said, I'm going to wait to the last possible second just in case anything else crazy happens. But a quick recap again, Ferguson out, Max Holloway is in at UFC 223 this Saturday night. It is Way of the Warrior. I am Eric Hallgren. Have a wonderful night.